Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here. And things will be a little bit different for our class time because we're going to be video recording this. Number of people have urged me to do a recording of our class, and I've kind of resisted, but I really believe that if there is a time to do a video recording, it would be on this study that we're approaching, which is an overview of the prophecies in the scripture, and in particular, the study of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, there's only four or five verses there, but they are incredibly powerful verses, and we just want to look at those in quite a bit of detail, and we're going to carry them all the way through to the end of time, if you can believe that. So, if you have your sheets in front of you, which you should have, there it is. I'm going to look first of all at the sheet that is references. And this is for those who may be interested in deeper study. So I've listed here some of the reference books that I have used over the years that I have found very useful. The first one is, in fact, a couple of them are by John Wolford. John Wolford is a superior theologian. And he has written a book called Major Bible Prophecies, published in 1991, and also The Revelation of Jesus Christ, published in 66. Now, some of these may be out of print, so you may have to search through Amazon or something else to find them. Another one is The End Times in Chronological Order. That's a very interesting book by Ron Rhodes. One that I have really found helpful over the years, extremely helpful, is called The Rapture Question. That one is definitely out of print, but you can find it. It was printed in 1957 by John Wolford. He goes through a lengthy, detailed, very clear set of teachings about the rapture question, particularly as it compares to the second coming of Christ. And we'll talk about the distinction of those two terms as we go through these scriptures. And the last one is Dwight Pentecost, Prophecy for Today. So those are books that are very useful. There are others. Dr. David Jeremiah has written several books on prophecy, and I would have no reservation at recommending him. For those of you who are interested, I have vetted all of the slides and all of the information here against these other Bible scholars, and so I don't think you'll find any significant deviation from their teachings. So I'd like to have you take the next sheet, which is Daniel Prophecy Introduction. And that is going to kind of set the background, set the preface, if you will, for moving to Daniel chapter 9. So in Daniel chapter 1, we're going to look at a few verses here and get the background of what is happening to the nation of Israel and then also what is happening to Daniel. So before we start this, if we could, let's pause and just commit this time to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you this morning for your incredible grace and mercy to us. And I want to thank you for the Word of God, which is absolutely without error. It is true. Every verse, every word is true. And as we look at this, we just marvel at the revelation that you have given to us. I just pray, Lord, that you would hide me and help us to focus on the Word of God and feed on that. And we just trust this whole time to you. We do so with great thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. For clarity here with the microphones, I'm going to read this passage for us. So you could follow along either from the sheet or from your Bibles. And by the way, this particular study has been developed around the NIV version, the New International Version. Some of you in this class, I know, use the NIV. Some use the ESV. We've used the ESV in the past. We're going to integrate this as we move along. We're going to show how the Gospel of John that we've studied for the last X number of lessons, the Gospel of John fits into this prophecy study, and then goes, and then this study will go beyond that. And so we will integrate the teachings that we've had up in the Gospel of John up to this point. Daniel chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. So what you have recorded here is what's happened to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel has been besieged by the kingdom of Babylon, and the king of Babylon is Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and he besieges Jerusalem, takes it captive, and we're going to find here in a moment that he carries off some people from that kingdom to his own. Verse 3, then the king ordered Asphanus, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, four young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. So the very best of the best of the best. He said, go in there, find out who they are, and I want you to bring them back. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. That was characteristic of a conquering nation. They would generally do that. They would go in, take captives, and they would give them new names, not their old names from Israel, Judah, but their new names from the Babylonians. And so here's the new names. To Daniel, he gave the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. So we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those names you will recognize as the narrative of the book of Daniel unfolds. So Israel, what's happening here is that Israel has rebelled against the Lord. Now, this is not a new thing. This has been going on literally for hundreds of years. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, they went to the promised land, and when they got there and all their enemies had been subdued, they just started forgetting about the Lord. They just sort of got indifferent to it and eventually rebelled against him. And by the way, if these kinds of things sound familiar, the parallel between Israel and what happened to them is very much a parallel of what happens to every nation that does not follow him, and the United States is on that track. So while you are looking at what's happening here in Israel, you can see the parallel that is happening right now today in our own country. So Israel has rebelled against the Lord. They've killed the prophets, the ones that the Lord sent to them. He finally sends the Babylonians to conquer them and carry them off, and they've been in captivity ever since. You cannot continue to rebel against the Lord without consequences. Now, we're going to go from Daniel chapter 1 to Daniel chapter 9, and I do that because this is the intent here is not to study the book of Daniel, but to study prophecy. And in the intervening chapters between Daniel 1 and Daniel 9, you have Daniel in the lion's den. You have all of the things that you remember about Daniel. He has dreams. He interprets the dreams for the king, etc., etc. Daniel is has been blessed. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been blessed immensely and protected by the Lord. And when we come to Daniel chapter 9, we find some very interesting things. This again gives us the background of what is going to transpire from a prophetic standpoint. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede of descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom. Now, what you see here is in the intervening years between Daniel 1 and Daniel 9, we now have a new king in Babylon. And this Babylonian king's name is Xerxes. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, this is from the book of Jeremiah, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Now we're not going to take time again to go back and read this particular passage, but the prophet Jeremiah wrote in his book, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Jerusalem would be captive for 70 years. And at the end of 70 years, the Lord would set Jerusalem and rebuild it. Daniel looks at this, and because of the learning and the understanding that he has, he realizes that they're in captivity right now. They're literally in the middle of Jeremiah's prophecy, and he starts doing the counting, and he says, whoa, we're almost to the end of the 70 years. This prophecy that Jeremiah has given is about to be fulfilled. So I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. And I haven't put the whole prayer. I really encourage you to read that prayer, verses from verse 5, 6, all the way down to verse 19. But he starts out, "O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands, we have sinned." And I want you to notice that when Daniel prays here, he's not just praying for himself. He's praying for the whole nation. He's saying, we, the nation, the whole nation of Israel, we have sinned. And the sins of my people Israel and making my request to the Lord my God, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the lands. He just lays it out and he says, Lord, we are guilty. We are guilty. Now, when it comes to Daniel chapter 9, verse 20, this is where the immediate prelude to the verses that we're going to be studying for this study in prophecy. Verse 20, while I was speaking, and that's his prayer that he's making to the God, and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, and that's back in the prior chapters, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. Now, we'll just pause here for a moment. Gabriel is an angel. In fact, he's not just an angel. He is one of the archangels. There are several angels that are at the top of the authority level, if you will, on angels. Michael is one, Gabriel is the other, and they have a special place. They are listed as the most powerful. We don't know if there are others that are even more powerful, but we don't know about that. We do know something about Gabriel. We can find other references to Gabriel. So Gabriel came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, now here's what the angel says to Daniel. Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, now this was quite a bit prior to when Gabriel gets there. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given. Of course, that comes from the Lord, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. So everybody got the picture here? Israel is in captivity. They have rebelled. They have killed the prophets. They have, and God has finally judged them. He has put them in captivity to the Babylonians. Daniel was chosen and was taught and instructed, although the Lord protected him and he refused to obey the king's commands in some cases, and the Lord just protected him. All of that comes down to this point where Daniel says, I understand what's written in Scripture by the prophet Jeremiah, and I understand that our captivity, or the captivity of Jerusalem, which has basically been ransacked, burned, and torn apart, I understand that that prophecy is telling that it's going to end. And this is at 69 years and 9 months, you know. It's that close. It's very close. And he says, the angel comes and says, therefore consider the message and the understanding. So Daniel's prayer comes down to this. His prayer has been heard, and the angel Gabriel is sent to deliver the answer. And the following verses are some of the most amazing revelations in Scripture, prophetically speaking. These revelations in Daniel are only fully understood by comparing Scripture with Scripture. Now, I have emphasized this over and over again. The best commentary on the Word of God is the Word of God. You will always have the best commentary. Men write books, and I gave you a list of books. For the most part, those books are interpreting this by showing you to here's where to look for another scripture that supports that. And to the extent that I do anything that is contributory to truth here, it will be exactly that. It will be showing you scripture that interprets this. And particularly, what you will find is one of the best scriptures that is going to support this is the book of the Revelation. And who wrote the book of the Revelation? The Apostle John, the same John who wrote the Gospel of John that we've been studying. So, with that, we're going to move now to the study of the four verses of Daniel chapter 9. These are the words of the angel who is speaking to Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, from the NIV version, you have these verses which are in the upper right corner of the first page of your sheet. 70 sevens. Now, the word sevens is in quotes. And the reason that is in quotes is because what sevens means is important in this passage. It's a difficult word to translate, and various translations have made an attempt at it. But I think we're best served here by understanding what the word actually means in the Hebrew. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city. Now, we're going to take these words apart almost word by word. To finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Does that sound like a pretty good list? That kind of covers the landscape, does it not? I mean, it just says this is the way it's going to happen. And then verse 25 says, know and understand this, and this is the words of Gabriel, directly from the Lord himself, to give to Daniel. Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, we'll just take that first part of that sentence. What we want to understand here is this is going to be a timeline. Now, I'm an engineer and I love charts. So, unfortunately, I love charts. And spreadsheets and all that good stuff. I think the best way for me to grasp the totality of these prophecies is to put them into a chart form. And so that's what I've attempted to do here. Most of us are visual interpreters. Some are very much just, you know, read a book, read a text, and you get it. I get it, and then I understand that I'm not going to understand it unless I put it into a chart. So this is going to be a chart, and the dotted line is going to be a timeline. Okay, everybody with me? The dotted line is going to be a timeline, and it's going to start on the left end, and we're going to build this chart, and it's going to keep going and going. Each chart that we have is going to pick that up and build it, going to go out and out and out until we get to infinity, believe it or not. So it's going to be a long dotted line. But the first point on the chart where it begins the discussion about the sequence of events is verse 25. Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and build Jerusalem. So that's the first point on our chart. That's right here on the left. Decree given to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. So now we want to find out, where is that? And the answer to that is in the bottom left corner, and that'll be on the next, on your next sheet. And that is recorded in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 7 through 8. Those of you who have studied Nehemiah in the past will recall that Nehemiah was called of the Lord to return back to Jerusalem and begin to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. So it is the fulfilling point of the words of Gabriel. Know and understand this, from the issue of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. So look at the bottom left and we'll see what Nehemiah says. I also said to him, this is Nehemiah's words, he said to the king, if it please the king, may I have letters to the governor of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah? And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple, and for the city wall, and for the residence I will occupy? And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request. Now that is a historical point. It's recorded in history in many books of that time. It is a historical point where the king of Babylon or Trans-Euphrates at that time was pleaded with by Nehemiah that he would be allowed safe passage back to Jerusalem and a blank check to take to get timber to rebuild Jerusalem. Now this is an astronomical request. Who would do that? And the answer is Nehemiah. And did it work? Yes, it worked. Because why? Why did it work? Because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, and the king granted my request. Now that is the fulfilling point of Gabriel's statement in Daniel 9:25. Know and understand this, Daniel, Bill. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Did that happen? Right there. Okay. So now, take it to the next page. From the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Well, let's go back here. There's something we need to talk about on this chart yet. The point number one in the bottom right of this first slide. 77s, and I put the word sevens there in quotes, 77s are decreed upon the Jews and Jerusalem. Now, don't miss this, because it's absolutely key. You will absolutely never understand this timeline and this prophecy if you don't understand these basic foundational issues. This prophecy, what is being talked about at this point in time, has only to do with the Jews and Jerusalem. You just have to be sure of that. Daniel was a Jew, and the thing starts out about the rebuilding of Jerusalem. The clock starts, this prophetic clock starts with the decree to rebuild, and it ends with Christ anointed as most holy King of Kings. We're going to see that. It's what Gabriel starts with is the rebuilding of Jerusalem, and the end of this whole prophetic stream ends with Christ being anointed King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And all God's people said, Amen. The dates are historical. Now let's talk about sevens. The word that is translated, that is in the Hebrew, that is translated sevens, actually means a group of seven. It means groups of seven. It could be pieces of taffy. Seven pieces of taffy. It could be 7 hours. It could be 7 months. It could be 7 days. It could, you know, and in the early translations, the assumption was the sevens was typically 7 days, which is what?
Week.
1 week. And so many of the early translations will say 77s, 70 weeks. I believe the King James Version, which is where I learned, really uses the word weeks. So just understand that that was a translation issue. It wasn't right or wrong. It could have been weeks. They didn't know at the point that they made those translations. The details about what the period of sevens was is not made known until further scriptures are given. Everybody understand? You got to have more scripture to say, is this 7 gumdrops or is it 7? You know, what is it? 7 sets of 7. Later scriptures are going to prove that it's a group of 7 years. Later scriptures are going to prove, without a doubt, that the group of 7, the set of 7, each group is 7 years. Okay, is everybody with this at this point? Because this is, we want to make sure we got a good base here. Any questions? Okay, let's go to the next one. So, on this slide, we see that we have a repetition of the decree to rebuild and restore Jerusalem, and that's the Nehemiah chapter 4 that we looked at. And then what Gabriel says is, know and understand this, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes. Now, who is the anointed one, the ruler?
Jesus.
No question about it. The anointed one, there, as far as the Jews are concerned, the anointed one is their Messiah. This is a phenomenal passage. Because do you understand what this is saying? This is telling Daniel and the nation of Israel exactly when the Messiah is going to come. So let's look and see what he says. From the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. If every 7 is 7 years, How long is seven sevens?
49.
49 years. And how long would 62 sevens be?
400.
Some more.
Yeah.
If anybody can do that calculation. So what we find then is that from the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah comes is 69 sevens, which is 483 years, or 173,880 days. And I just put that in there because as an engineer, I love it. And the point that we're going to find out is the reason why we put the number of days in there is because we can track from the date for the Nehemiah passage, the restoration of Israel, until the triumphal entry of Christ, and it is to the exact day. Not close, exact. Exact day. 173,880 days after the decree to rebuild Jerusalem, Christ enters Jerusalem in the triumphal entry. And all God's people said, "Wow! Wow!" So let's see if we can pull some of this together. Matthew chapter 21, verses 4 through 8. If we just take a look at that, it says, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, Zechariah 9:9. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, the prophecy that's given in Zechariah 9:9 is the prophecy of when the Messiah, the ruler, as it talks about back here in Daniel chapter 9, until the anointed one, the ruler, comes. It's when Zechariah 9:9 says, "See, your king is coming to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Do you remember what the rejecting leadership of the Jews said when this was going on? What did they say to Jesus? "Tell them to stop." Because what were they doing? They were crying, "Hosanna to the king! Hosanna to the one who comes in David's..." And the leaders were saying, "Tell them to stop. That only belongs to the Messiah. Don't let them do that." And what did Jesus tell them?
"If they don't do it, the rocks will cry out."
"If they don't do it, the rocks will cry out." Why was this so important? Folks, this was the triumphal entry, was the official entry of the Messiah, according to Daniel's prophecy. When the anointed one, the ruler, comes, the official presentation of the Messiah, the King of the Jews, to the nation of Israel. He's going to come into Jerusalem on a colt, gentle, riding upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. And in Matthew chapter 21, the verses we just read, 4 through 8, the cry is, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King, he is coming, palm branches strew the way. And within a few days, the cry is going to change to crucify him. Crucify him. All of this is exact to the day fulfillment of the words of Gabriel to Daniel. Now let's take a look at some notes with regard to this. Back up here in Daniel 9:24, verses 29:24 through 27, the Anointed One is literally Messiah, and Messiah is Christ. So, from the restoration and rebuilding of Jerusalem until the Christ comes, there will be 173,880 days. The triumphal entry is the official offer of the Messiah to the Jews. The first seven sevens, and that's back over here, there are seven sevens and then 62 sevens. The first seven sevens are 49 years, and it took that long to rebuild and restore Jerusalem. It took, everything had been destroyed. The wall had been destroyed, the buildings had been destroyed, and Nehemiah, bless his heart, he and a band with him rebuilt that whole thing. It took him 49 years to do it. Then the following 62 sevens are the intervening connection between when Jerusalem is fully restored and the Messiah comes. 69 sevens equals 483 years equals 173,880 days. And that, by the way, is with 360 days per year, which is the way the Jews calculate. The dates fulfill the Jewish and the Gentile calendars, and you can look at Zechariah 9:9 and Matthew 21:1-9.
Did you say the Jewish calendar is 360
days? Yeah, it's exactly 360 days. Now, I have my own theory about how we get to 365. I'll talk with you sometime about that. I don't think it happened until after the flood, but 360 days is a Jewish calendar. So we've finished this first part, first few verses of Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. And next week, Lord willing, we're going to pick right up there and go on with the next few verses and show you what happens after the triumphal entry. And you can look at the notes that we had when we studied through John and look at the other Gospels, and you can see what happens immediately after Christ enters as a triumphal entry. And what is the next big event? The crucifixion. So Does Gabriel talk about that? And the answer is, yeah, specifically. He talks about that. He tells the Jews ahead of time, this is what's going to happen. The Messiah is going to come, and you're going to crucify him. So now the next question is, why didn't they get it? Why didn't they get it? And the answer is yes. We'll talk about that. I hope that this has been beneficial to you to get started. And Lord willing, we're going to add the next layer on this prophecy, and we'll soon be at the point where we're going to be talking about where we are right now today, because Gabriel talks about that, not only where we are today, but where we are going to be tomorrow, whenever that tomorrow is. One of the reasons why I wanted to do this study, I believe the Lord directed us to come to this study, is because of the state that our nation is in right now. Our nation is extremely polarized and divided. We're heading to an election. At this point in time, nobody knows how that election is going to come out. But it's very clear, and I think I can say this with a fair amount of authority, that half of the people are going to be really rejoicing, and half of the people are going to be in the pits of despair on November, whatever it is, when it finally is decided. Usually when that happens, people are saying, well, what is going to happen? And it's a good time to understand what the scripture says is going to happen. There's nothing that's going to happen that's not exactly according to the word of God. And I hope this is going to help you in your understanding of that. One of the first pieces that helps you to understand it is 173,880 days, specifically days, whether it's a Jewish calendar, the Gregorian calendar, whether you're counting months, leap years, no matter what you're counting, 173,880 days. If he knows that, which he did, he knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Father, thank you so much for you, for the incredible grace in which we stand. I just pray, Lord, that as we begin this study into the prophecy of Daniel, the 70 weeks of Daniel, I just pray that it would be an encouragement to help build our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This prophecy is all about him. It's all about the coming Messiah. It's all about his entrance into this world, his sacrifice in this world, his return to heaven, and when and how he returns back to get his people and finally set up his kingdom. Lord, it's all here. Every bit of it is here if we just read it and understand it. And so I pray that you, by your Spirit, would teach us. Truly, the Spirit of God, the author of this word, is the teacher. He's available to anyone who trusts Christ as their Savior. Thank you now for this time this morning. We pray that you would guide us this week, should you tarry, bring us back together again so that we could fellowship together in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.